Welcome to Homefront, and the last in our spring-summer series called Lessons from Marriage. Today we're talking about isolation and fighting isolation with community. And I'm going to break this down into three basic parts. We want to start off with what are the risks of isolation? The second part is what are the benefits or the blessings that come with community? And then the last part of it is, how do we then go about understanding these truths? How do we go about developing community? So let me start off painting a picture. I want to paint a picture of a couple. This is a young couple. They've been married a couple of years. They have a newborn. They are struggling financially. So they both are working full-time jobs. They're working opposite schedules so they can try to take care of their infant without having to put them in childcare, which they also can't afford. They attend Reston Bible Church, but despite attending Reston Bible Church on Sundays, they feel alone within the church. They're not connected. They don't know other people. They don't have interaction with the body aside from just that coming on a Sunday morning and sitting, worshiping, and hearing, sitting under the preached word. And as a result of that, there's certain things that they're certain fruit that they're reaping from that. For one, they've stagnated spiritually in their spiritual growth because they don't have an outlet for discovering and investing the gifts that God has given them. And so they're not bearing fruit. They're branches that aren't bearing fruit. And so they've stagnated in their spiritual growth. They're also not benefiting from the gifts of the rest of the body in their lives. And there's a lot of implications to that for this couple. They don't have access to the multitude of counselors. Proverbs talks about there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. They don't have access to the benefits of the gifts of the rest of the body in caring for them as a young couple. Because of their isolation, because of their disconnection from the body, they have a general sense of sort of desperation and isolation and loneliness, and it causes them to make, you know, some pretty poor financial decisions out of that feeling of desperation. And had they been connected, or if they were connected into community, perhaps they wouldn't have made those kinds of decisions, and yet that's what's occurring. Their marriage, as a result, is suffering and struggling and kind of limping along because of their isolation, because they've not been connected. And that sounds like a pretty bleak picture. And you know, you yourself might be there now, or you might have been there in the past. But I want to tell you that it's also a hopeful picture. And the reason it's a hopeful picture is because I know that couple. That couple is Patricia and I. In 1997, we had our first child. It's the same year we also started attending Reston Bible Church. And when I say attending Reston Bible Church, I mean attending. We attended on Sundays. We came to a worship service. We went home. That was the full extent of our connection to the body here at Reston Bible Church. We felt alone. We felt lonely, despite the fact that we were frequenting or attending a body of believers. We weren't investing our gifts, and so we were stagnant spiritually. We made some really poor financial decisions because we felt desperate, like we had nowhere to turn. Our marriage was limping along as a result of all of this. So starting off and looking at what are the dangers of isolation? You know, I look at Proverbs 18:1. It says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. You know, it is unwise to isolate. And we can come up with lots of really good excuses as to why we've isolated. We can say, well, you know, we have two jobs, or we just don't have time in our schedule to connect with people. We have a little boy that we're trying to raise. We just don't have bandwidth, you know, an overused term. that wasn't being used at all in 1997, by the way. We don't, we come up with a lot of good excuses, but in the end, we're really hurting ourselves. Sometimes our excuses sound good. Other times we're really just fleeing from community because, like the proverb says, we're seeking our own desire. We don't want to be in the light of community because perhaps there's something in our lives that we really would rather not bring out into the light of community. That wasn't the case for Patricia and I at that time. However, we were using excuses to justify our lack of connection in the body, which really was sin in our lives. We didn't recognize it as such at the time, but in retrospect, it really was. A person who isolates himself breaks out against all sound judgment. And that was us. We had broken out against all sound judgment. We were making foolish decisions. We were making excuses for ourselves. So the things that we reaped from that were, and I'll give you three big ones here. And in talking about this afterwards and looking at the discussion questions, I'm sure you might even come up with some more. But one of them was just this general sense of hopelessness and despair that we were alone in the world, that nobody knew what we were going through, that nobody, that we were somehow unique in the struggles that we were having. As a result, we had poor judgment. We made foolish decisions. And if you look at the other part of Proverbs 18, one, after one, if you look at verse 3, for example, it says, "When wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes disgrace." And I think contempt and dishonor and disgrace are things that you run the risk of as well, because you make foolish, sinful decisions, which begin to spiral out of control, and can end in dishonor and disgrace for your family. Again, that's a pretty bleak picture, but that is the result of isolation. That's what happens when we isolate ourselves as individuals, as a couple, from the community of believers. So let's contrast that with the picture of God's intention for his people that we find in Scripture. Right? What are the joys and the benefits of community? And I'm just going to read a few passages here for us. And I want you to pay attention to a few things in these, and I'll kind of pull them out. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." What I want to point out to you there, this is not talking about when he says you're a chosen race, that's a group. You are a holy nation, also a group, a people, not a person, for God's own possession. For once you were not a people. Notice again, it doesn't say you were not a person. You were not a people, but now you are the people, it's a group of God. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." Acts 2, 44 through 47. "All those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions, were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." Again, they had all things in common. They were together. They were breaking bread. They were doing life. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26. "So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members," plural, "may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it." Romans 12, 5. "So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." So again, going back to 1 Peter, right? You are a people, not simply a person. Hebrews 10, spur one another on. Don't stop meeting together. Acts 2, right? Do life together. Take care of each other. Worship together. 1 Corinthians 12, if one suffers, we all suffer. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. Romans 12, right? We all belong to one another. Our gifts are for the mutual benefit of the body. All of these passages assume something. All of these passages assume community. They all require community in order to be realized in the life of the Jesus follower. So it was never even imagined in the early church that people would live these isolated Christian lives. That's a contradiction in terms. Isolated and Christian life are two things that can't go together. They just don't make sense. The benefits of being in community is, among others, and please, when you get to the end of this and you go through the discussion questions, make a list of some more, because I'm sure you'll have plenty more. Enjoying the gifts of the body, being sharpened by other believers, right? Discovering and exercising your gifts, not being wise in your own eyes, but instead finding a wisdom in a multitude of counselors. All of these things are benefits of being in community. Having opportunity to care for others, being able to have others care for you. Again, going back to the story of Patricia and I when we were younger and isolated while still in the body, had we known that there was a Dale Peak that we could sit down and talk to about our financial struggles and get some counsel, get some advice? Here we are. We have two jobs. Neither one of them makes enough to support our family. Our cars are breaking down. We have a newborn son, and we're in debt up to our eyeballs. We need a plan to get out of this. Help. And the church had that available, but we didn't know it because we weren't connected. There is a benefit, a blessing to be had in community. It's your opportunity to bless and to receive blessing at the same time, and to live out all of the one another's of Scripture, because in order to live out the one another's, you have to be with one another, and that requires community. So what is the third step? Developing community. How do we do that? Notice I did not say finding community. A lot of people say, oh, I want to find community. Community isn't something you find that you stumble across and you bump into it. It takes work. And what we have found, what Patricia and I have found in our lives, and I'm not saying this is the only way to develop community, but what we've found in our lives is that essentially there's one way that's worked for us to put down deep roots of community. And this is a way that definitely takes some work, and that is service. It's the intentional meeting together around a shared purpose, breaking bread together, supporting and encouraging one another in that purpose, is being on mission with a group of other people. So to take it back to our story, in 97, 98, 99, in 2000, all of this began to come to a head. And I sat down, and it was out with my brother-in-law, and I made the comment to him that we were feeling isolated, that we were feeling stagnated in our spiritual growth, and I used the metaphor with him of feeling like back in my high school and college days playing football that I was on the sideline. I was on the sideline, and where I wanted to be was in the game. And he didn't play football in high school or college, and so he asked me, he said, well, what would you do in those situations if you were on the sideline, you wanted to be in the game? And I said, well, I would stand next to the coach so that every time he turned around, he would see me. And then if that didn't work to get me in the game, then I would just pester him until he put me in the game or hollered at me. And he said, okay, well, why didn't you do that? And I thought, well, I hadn't thought of it that way. And so Patricia and I began to pray like that, asking God, put us in the game. Put us in the game. We want to be a part of this family that we know we belong to, but we want to be engaged in it. We want to put roots in it. Please show us how we can get on the field and really become a part of this this family, an active part of this family. And God began to open doors for us. God began to show different places that we could serve, serving in the ESL, the English as a Second Language Ministry, serving in the children's ministry. Patricia served in Awana, getting involved in discipleship, getting involved in missions. All of these things were doors that opened to us in service. And something interesting happened in that serving, is that we began to make connections, deeper connections with people within the church around that shared purpose. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, sort of the foxhole experience, you know, the band of brothers experience, but that's a very real thing that soldiers in wartime experience, of being in a, you know, suffering together, living in close quarters, you know, being motivated around a deep care for one another and a deep sense of purpose and mission. And there's something about that that draws us together in fellowship in a way that really nothing else can. And that's what we found. The people that we met and the people that we began to serve with in those ministries have become lifelong friends of ours. Now, some of them have moved away and, you know, life situations change, but we're still connected to them. We still can reach out. We still pray for one another. We still care for one another. And as people moved away, we continued to make new connections within those opportunities, within those serving venues. But it's work. It has to be a priority. It has to be something that you decide as a couple as a priority, because absolutely everything in the world around us is fighting to draw us away from this community. Absolutely everything. And I know some people get so frustrated with it that they say, you know what, I'm tired of the rat race. I'm moving to Idaho, or, you know, someplace else where they think it's going to be a slower pace of life. And I would say, you know, to each his own. I don't want to criticize, but you can live in Northern Virginia and not engage in the rat race. You know, just because there is a race doesn't mean that you need to be entered in it. You can make a conscious decision to not engage in the rat race. It can be done. You know, what does it look like to make it a priority? Well, you know, you guys, again, will be able to discuss this amongst yourselves in the discussion time. But, you know, older couples, make time for a younger couple. It could be that simple. Make time for a younger couple to take them out for coffee, to spend some time once a month talking to them. Become a family life mentor. You know, younger couples, make time to serve with others that are in your life stage. There's lots of opportunities to get involved in serving within the body on Sunday mornings, during the week, but engage with other couples, with other individuals even within the body in service. Make it a priority. Make it a priority. You know, I think that is the biggest key. If you look at Acts 2, verse 42, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, number one. But look what follows that. And to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These were things that were done in community, and it required devotion. They devoted themselves to it. So I'll just close with this, and I hope that you guys have some good discussion around these questions, and I hope that this is something that maybe spurs on maybe some decisions and some direction change within your marriage. But Christian community, and I'm not exaggerating here, but Christian community saved our marriage back then, 22 years ago, and it's protected our marriage and our family for the 25 years that we've been married. So my encouragement to you as a couple is don't play the fool in Proverbs and isolate yourselves. So let's just take some time now to discuss. If you're listening to this online, there are some questions that are included with this. Take some time together as a couple, and or as if maybe in your small group, and just talk through some of these questions and see if some of the things that you've heard this morning here don't ring true. God bless you. Have a great week.